You might want to cover your ears for this part. It's very loud. This is Leander's favorite part of the show, actually.
Okay.
So I like to really do it boisterously.
Very good.
The second favorite thing next to Coldplay, the band. It's favorite band ever. Hello! And welcome to the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifon Elijah. Joining me today, he's a mountain man, and he's a mountain man. Buster Kine is here.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Also joining us, he has a beautiful collection of powdered white wigs he wears when he makes important life decisions. Leander Cady is here.
Oh, I thought it was going to be someone else. Okay. Hey, everybody.
Also with us, he's helping Leander write a new book, which basically makes him the Princess Leia to Leander's Jabba the Hutt. David Pierini. Did I say that right, David?
Perini.
Perini, thank you for
correcting
me. Close enough. Welcome, David.
Thank you. Good to be here.
What's the name of the book that you're helping Leander write?
Well, this is going to be actually the second edition to The Cult of Mac, a book Leander wrote, how long ago? More than 10 years ago.
1653, right? I don't know. Yeah, it was a long time ago.
When Leander first came off the boat in the United States,
exactly.
he struck out and wrote a book.
Well, and you know, so much has changed with the company and the culture. I mean, we've got iPhones now. Steve Jobs has passed away. There's so many different new products, and so we're kind of delving into how the culture's changed since the first book. And I've been talking to a lot of interesting people, everybody from collectors to people that have done art of Steve Jobs, sculpture, paintings. We have people that have had tattoos of Steve Jobs. So all sorts of the true believers, as I like to call them.
These are like the mega fans, right?
These are, yeah. These are not just the people who prefer Apple computers. I mean, they...
Or who like an iPod.
Right. They live by, you know, the words that Steve Jobs had, you know, said in the various, you know, developers conferences and product rollouts. And so it's really a part of their life, and it's been very interesting.
And when Leander is suggesting ideas for you to cover in the book, does he tilt his head backward and does a tongue come out of his mouth? And you go, la, 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 la. Is that some of what it sounds like?
But that's a good sign, because that means,
that means
he's excited
happy
about an idea. So I know we're onto something when the tongue starts getting caught in the back of his throat. So
tell me, I know some of the Apple fans out there are nuts. Do you have any good stories thus far of people who you ran across and you're like, this person, this person is more than just a major Apple fan. Like, they're clearly insane.
Who's the weirdest dude you met?
Yeah, who's the weirdest person?
Gosh. Well, you know, I did meet a guy by the name of Greg Packer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know Greg's name. He is kind of the most well-known man on the street. He has been quoted in over 100 news articles and on newscasts, and he generally is the guy that's first in line. And so his claim to fame is he was the first person in New York City to get an iPhone. He also got the first iPad. And generally, the people who are in the front of the line, who have been waiting a week, 2 weeks to be the first to buy that product, get a lot of publicity. The television stations come by, and, you know, here was this guy, he's famous. And a lot of people have tried to capitalize on his enthusiasm, so they've actually, you know, given him free gear, you know, to wear. He'll wear like a company's t-shirt just so that that logo appears on TV. He said he's received free iPhones, so whoever he has advertised for will sometimes buy his gadget. So
he's kind of
really
the opposite of a fan, though, isn't he? Because he's like a professional line sitter, you know.
He's known as a professional line sitter. Yeah,
he doesn't do this full time, though.
Well,
he just does it when there's popular products that come out.
Right, but he was also first in line for, all sorts of other stuff, not just Apple gear, right, Dave? What was he in line for?
Oh, he's been to Whitney Houston's funeral.
Was he first in line?
I don't know, but he also, the only reason he missed the rollout of the iPhone 6S is because the Pope was in town. Mm-hmm. So he just tries to show up at all these different events and get his face on camera, and it's really worked for him. He's retired highway worker from Long Island, and if he can get some publicity, the 2 weeks he's waited in the line has been worth it to him. Being quoted, being on camera gives him something.
Like, this is the thing he's receiving notoriety for.
Yeah, yeah.
So it gives him, like, a place in the universe.
Yeah.
It does. He's got his own...
The world's greatest line sitter.
He's got his own Wikipedia page, which... Wow. I know it's not a big deal, because anybody can start their own, but, there's citations showing all the different places he's been quoted, and you'll read his story... It's one of the first stories that we're going to share with readers of the website. For the next, few weeks, and I don't think the schedule has really been decided, but we're going to start to run some of the content that will be going in the book.
Great idea.
I could tell you some other good stories, but I might want to wait for future podcasts to share them.
Yeah, good idea. So this book is the revised version, and it's essentially a collection of stories of the people who are hardcore Apple fans. Is that right? They're part of the cult of Mac, so to speak.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely. Well,
when are you guys releasing this book, Leander?
No publication set. It was actually supposed to be, about now, this April, this spring.
Oh, boy, you better actually get going and start typing.
We got a little bit behind, schedule, but there's no publication date set. It's going to be about a year, I think.
Just a little bit behind.
We were talking about doing it in the fall, but I think we've already blown that, so maybe
this time.
Well,
what a great idea, though. This is such a great premise for a book.
Like David said, the first book was written back in 2004. And so it was based upon, Apple was a very, very different company, very, very different situation. Everything has completely changed mm-hmm. since then. In fact, what am I talking about? It's not 2004. It was earlier than that. But and I don't know if I want to say it's like the whole name Cult of Mac was a joke. It's like it's all sort of tongue in cheek. There definitely is, a cadre, a small subset of Apple fans who are really into Apple and get things like Steve Jobs tattoos and Steve Jobs haircuts,
shave the Apple into the back of their head,
right? And the vast majority are are regular folks, but I think they recognize a little bit of that devotion, a little bit of that that devotion to the brand and to the products, And so it's just looking at Apple culture, and we were hoping to make it a little more worldwide. I mean, now it's gone all over the world. There are big communities on all the continents. We want to take a look at it and see what's changed. And a lot of it has changed over these years. And so, we want to take sort of like, take the temperature of the Apple community.
Well, and I'll tell you what's helping, Leander, is whenever I contact someone, I'll get an immediate response that they're happy to be interviewed for the book. And one of the first things they say is, oh, I have that book on my shelf. I love that book. So
that's funny.
If that's any indication, I think people are going to enjoy the second edition. That's for sure.
Yeah, you're definitely reaching out to the right people if they already have that book on their shelf. And they're like, man, I have been taking my shirt off and line sitting for months and months and months, practicing, waiting for my chance to make it into this book.
That's how they do it, folks. Yeah, if you want to be in the book.
It's not easy. It's when preparation meets opportunity, right? That's when your chance happens. You got to be ready. You stop showering, get your candle vigils going. Do the things that the hardcore Apple fans do, and maybe, just maybe, you could end up in the book and have an interview with Leander. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be fun doing these stories. And as you guys publish these stories, David, we should definitely have you back on to talk about some of these, because I'm endlessly intrigued by...
Well, Dave's done a bunch of great stuff already, and he's only been looking at a small subset of things. So we can talk about some of the collectors. He's had some amazing collectors, people mm-hmm. who have like these amazing private museums. So that's a good thing to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. We got to save some for future episodes, though, Leander.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's great. We should definitely do some of those, too. You know, Leander, you know what else we should do? We should say thanks to our sponsors.
Oh, right. Yeah. Those guys, yeah.
Didn't you have a word to say about Tunnel Bear?
This episode is brought to you by Tunnel Bear. It's a super, super easy to use VPN software. It's definitely a must-have if you're going to be surfing in public. It works with iOS and Android, and you can get it at gettunnelbear.com. Gettunnelbear.com.
Look at that, like a pro, like a professional. Also sponsoring FreshBooks. FreshBooks, of course, is the online invoicing software that small business and entrepreneurs use to make invoicing easy and to make tax time a cinch. And let me just say, the reporting that goes into FreshBooks that you have access to is phenomenal. You will be able to track all of your invoices and all of your expenses in FreshBooks. And then you can go into the FreshBooks reporting section, and they have a plethora of reports that you can look at, that you can dig down into and see all sorts of cool stuff about your business. You could see how fast your clients pay. You could see exactly how much money you have available to spend. You could see what your expenses are and where your money is being spent. By the way, FreshBooks will import all of your expenses from your bank account. You can connect your bank account, and it will just slurp all that data in and show it all to you right there. So if you are running a business where you are service-based, if you are maybe a screen printer, you're a photographer, you are a programmer, you're a graphics professional of some kind, if you're not using FreshBooks already, I couldn't highly recommend it any more than I do. Check out FreshBooks.com/cultcast. Sign up for a free 30-day trial. Enter CultCast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. FreshBooks is one of those essential business tools that I use, and I recommend it to everyone. I hope you give it a shot. That's FreshBooks.com/cultcast. Good timing on the horn.
They were just agreeing. Ding, ding. Yeah,
yeah, they're like, I'm at FreshBooks, man. Give that guy a raise. Okay, we'll start with this. Buster.
Mm-hmm.
Sad, sad, tragic news. One of the best artists, one of the best dressed musicians of all time has died today, tragically. I was a huge Prince fan. Huge Prince fan. And I just thought we had to mention this at the top of the show because he's one of the best musicians of all time. And do you guys remember those pants that he used to wear without the butt cheeks? Do you guys remember when he donned these things?
No.
Was that MC Hammer?
No. Prince in his butt cheekless pants? You guys don't remember this.
Chaps? I didn't follow him a lot, so...
You weren't a huge Prince fan.
I was not a Prince fan.
David, you're living in Minnesota. Did you move there because you're such a huge Prince fan?
I did, actually.
No, you're like, I just need to be closer to Prince.
I will tell you that... we were just talking about this before the show went on. Prince and Bob Dylan, you know, two musical legends, come from the state. And Prince had a compound out in a suburb of the Twin Cities called Chanhassen. The compound was called Paisley Park. He used to have shows all the time. I've had friends that have gone to those shows. And I got to tell you, it is this land of 10,000 lakes is in a state of shock right now. I heard
you
the
said
news.
Some lady had pulled over and was crying on the side of the road.
Yeah, I was driving when I heard the news, and I was just driving down one of the major thoroughfares, and I saw this car pulled off to the side, and the woman was weeping, and I could only guess that she was hearing the news. And yeah, it's just crazy. I had a friend who was at a jazz club two nights ago, and Prince was there checking out the talent. So, it's people are really trying to process this right now. So,
yeah, he was only 57 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Crazy Young. And of course, you can't get his music, can you, on Apple Music or any of the other streaming services because he kept it off.
Right, right.
Right, well, you know, ironically, now maybe you'll be able to get your stuff, get his music there. Maybe his estate will, you know, be a little bit more lenient on licensing his music now that he's gone.
Well, he was.
It would be so cool to give everyone access to it.
Yeah, well, will they, though? Because he kept very tight control of them. He owned all the master tapes and all the publishing rights, right? So, I mean, he's been in fighting with various record labels and with everybody forever, right? Because he's always made very, very tight control.
He has been. Yeah, he's been battling record labels for as long as I can remember.
Right.
Which was the whole reason he went to the artist formerly known as Prince. He had that
right.
really crazy symbol for a while, and that was just a statement against the record company that he felt was holding his work hostage.
Flamboyant guy, eccentric guy, incredibly talented guy. It made some of the best. So wrote some of the best songs, I think, of our time. And what? And those I do. I think so, man. Purple Rain,
Coldplay. Come on.
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to say that, but clearly, I think that goes without saying. Clearly, none of them hold a candle to it's a Coldplay's catalog. But nonetheless, I've always been a huge Prince fan, and not just a good songwriter, but a good guitar player too. My gosh, check out some of his stuff on YouTube. That guy shreds. He shreds.
Way too. I don't want to piss on this parade, but. I always hated Prince. I can't stand it.
No.
Bite your tongue.
Because I knew Leander was going to say something like that. I wasn't even going to ask you if you liked Prince. Let me just wrap with this before we can move on to some Apple news. But I can't believe that you guys don't remember Prince in his butt cheekless pants. I went and saw Prince in Washington State, and he came out on stage, right? Big plumes of smoke, huge fanfare, everyone's cheering. And then he's dancing with his guitar, and he turns around and starts dancing backwards. And sure enough, he was wearing those pants with no butt cheeks. And the crowd, we went wild. We went wild because they're in all their glory with those two beautiful butt cheeks. And I think only two men in show business could pull off that look. That would be Prince and then Howard Stern. Do you guys remember when Howard Stern did it as Fart Man? That's probably for the best. Okay, let's move on to some Apple news. Buster, let's talk about the 9.7-inch iPad Pro.
It's pretty.
Practically perfect in every way.
Yeah, pretty much.
You have it. You have yours now, right?
No, I don't have one yet. But I'm
I thought you were going to get one.
I'm
going
to have to. I broke my MacBook, so I think I might get an iPad Pro.
MacBook? The smaller version?
Yeah, by the way, I broke my MacBook.
Broke your MacBook.
Yeah, that happened last
week. What are you recording on now?
My wife's MacBook Air, her little tiny 11-inch one.
Isn't she a bit nervous about that, giving it to you?
Especially because I poured water on the other MacBook. It was great.
Is that how it broke?
Yeah.
But I mean, you have a true talent. I really
I know,
mean that.
Right?
You have destroyed more devices, and I don't say this to make you feel bad at all. I'm genuinely impressed. Like, I don't know how you do it. Like, it's like every device you own, you end up squashing it, breaking it, pouring water on it.
Well, that MacBook had been through some damage. Yeah, that was the one that had been squatted on. But so
right, that your friends had on, right?
So I've been working from my iPad Mini lately, mostly. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, oh, that new 9.7-inch iPad Pro is looking awfully tempting.
So you're just hunched over your iPad Mini with your keyboard typing?
Yep. It's not
Do
even that bad.
You have spectacles on?
No,
really?
No. Yeah, I actually have been kind of liking it. I can get everything done I need for Cult of Mac on an iPad Mini. That's kind of crazy.
And the small screen size isn't an issue for you?
No, not really. It's kind of more like working on like two, because I'll like use the split view thing. So it's kind of like having 2 6-plus phones side by side that you're working on.
I mean, that sounds truly awful.
Right?
It really does sound bad. Yeah. But at least you're making it work. Good for you. So you're not going to be upgrading to a new Mac, you don't think?
No, I think the iPad Pro just keeps sounding better and better every time.
Okay, so this iPad Pro news, DisplayMate, who does a ton of testing on screens, put out a report about the new iPad Pro, and they said it has the best, or by far the best performing mobile LCD display they have ever tested. And I was like, wow, there's a statement for you. My Nick Cage would call that high praise. Dr. Raymond Sinera, president of DisplayMate, says the iPad Pro breaks many display performance records. In fact, DisplayMate found Apple's claim that the iPad Pro features the same color range as the digital cinema industry is totally legit. And I was like, wow, that's an even crazier claim. And then he goes on. Dr. Sinera reveals the 9.7-inch iPad Pro is more color accurate than any mobile display, monitor, TV, or UHD TV that you have. It is more accurate than any display we have ever measured. It is visually indistinguishable from perfect. Yeah. I mean, they just need to close up shop. I mean, what else is there for them to do?
Yeah.
They found the perfect display. There's nothing else.
Like the only area that they can improve on is the screen reflectance, which they said is like the lowest, I think, of any mobile display as well.
Yeah, but, so it's the best of any mobile display, so I guess they can make it better than any non-mobile display.
Well, I mean, it still reflects 1.7% of light, so if they got it, you know, to zero, that's the only way they can get it better.
that's just amazing.
I'm pretty thorough.
For them to go out on a limb and say this, I just think is, this kind of makes me want one.
Yeah.
And I don't want one.
You don't want one, but now you do.
But now I kind of do want one, yeah. Just because it's so much better than what I already have, even though what I have now is perfectly adequate. So if you were on the fence about your iPad Pro purchase, or if you just purchased one, congratulations. You now have one of the best displays per DisplayMate. You have one of the best displays in the world, which you could also make the argument to your friends that you have one of the best displays in the entire galaxy. That's wow. Pretty cool. Yeah. It's heavy, actually.
Deep.
Let's talk about WWDC, huh?
That's coming, yeah.
Coming up in cool. June. And Apple was cheeky in their release of the June dates for WWDC. This came up via Siri, right?
Yeah. Which
but
I
who
thought
actually
was,
discovered it?
I don't know. I think somebody just sent it in to another website, and then everybody discovered it, you know.
Apple totally leaked this.
Yeah.
They had to have totally leaked this.
Like, because who's asking Siri every day when WWDC is, right?
Right, exactly. And then all of a sudden, it just spreads like wildfire. So WWDC is going to be June 13th through June 17th. It's going to be a whopping $1,600 per ticket.
Jeez.
$1,600.
And the hotels are super pricey. I was looking. It's like you can't get a room for less than $1,000.
What?
It's crazy. I mean,
what about for like a Motel 6 or something?
I don't know. I only look at the Regis, yeah, the pricey ones.
That's. I bet you even the Motel 6.
My basement's
are all
available on Airbnb. Yeah. If
yep. Jeez, you need to rent out your boat, Leander.
Oh, it's gone. That's gone.
Oh, you sold the boat?
Well, yeah. it's a long.
Or did it
saga.
Just sink to the bottom of the sea?
I tried to sink it. That would have really answered a lot of problems. But I ended up giving it away. I sold it for $1.
You're kidding?
I tried everything to get rid of that thing. You cannot get rid of them. No one wants to buy an old busted up boat. A shocker, I know.
I didn't think it was that bad of a boat. I mean, it needed a little bit of polish.
Yeah, but
it floated.
It was a good sleep. You
barely.
Know?
Yeah. Well, I got evicted. It's a long story, but
okay.
I got evicted from the marina.
Okay. Well, they're like, yeah, sir, that boat's not safe. That needs to go. It's clearly going to sink any day now. Okay, so you're going to have to find your own hotel room. But you know, I was curious what you guys are excited about for WWDC because I think you all know what I'm looking forward to:
new MacBook Pros,
oh, yeah. Bro. I'm a MacBook Pro, bro. That's all right. What about you guys?
iOS 10.
Yeah.
I hope they really do some big stuff with it, but I doubt they will.
You think it's just going to be a marginal?
I think so, because upgrade? I mean, it's hard to like demand like amazing, awesome updates every year.
That's true. You know, it's funny. I was expecting people to kind of agree with me and say, "Oh, MacBook Pros is definitely what we want." I posted this question on our subreddit, thecultcast.reddit.com, and asked people what they wanted to see. And the absolute obvious choice for the majority of people was iOS 10. People want to see a complete revamp of iOS 10. In fact, let me just read you. Paul Lowen from our subreddit says, I'd like to see iOS 10 completely revamp what iOS is. You know, take the opportunity to rebrand itself and function differently. It's been a grid of icons for too many years.
Yeah, totally.
I agree with them. They need to do something with the iPad, too. Make it more
like the Apple
functional
Watch.
For the larger screen.
I think it should be like the Apple Watch, like an ever-moving grid of tiny little icons that are absolutely impossible to hit.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Really,
in fact, I think they need to keep it the same size. The entire screen is black, right. But at the very center of the screen is just that group just of Apple Watch icons.
Right. And they could put a big wheel on the side, too, right? So you can wheel through.
Right. Perfect. Man, you need to go work for Johnny Ive. That's what you need to do.
He asked me, but I was too busy.
I was too busy.
Yeah, I got to write this book. And by me, I mean David. But I got to manage David.
That's right.
Yeah, I want to see a revamp of iOS as well. I would love to see them make the iPad more of a productivity machine. If it's going to be marketed as such, I feel like they need to take advantage of the larger screen real estate. And that goes doubly so for the iPhone 7 Plus.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see them actually do something with that larger screen, because right now it's just larger, but it's not any different.
Yeah, I think I had big hopes for that too when I bought the 6 Plus, you know, because they'd show a few apps with like, oh, it's got this extra side view thing that you can do on only the 6 Plus, or messages have... I think they had like an icon. I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And yeah, app developers never really took advantage of it. I think that's kind of the problem there, is not everybody uses a plus size screen. There's more regular size screens. So why put in the effort to develop like an extra little feature that only a few people are going to use?
That's probably the same mentality they have for the Apple Watch too.
Yeah.
I bet even fewer people have the Apple Watch as the 7 Plus.
Yeah.
Well, we also got new MacBook updates this week.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in just a sec. But I thought that was just further evidence of my all but confirmed theory that we are getting brand new MacBook Pros at WWDC. They got the MacBooks out of the way. There's been rumors that we're going to get MacBook Pros. It's been 4 years now, almost 4 years, since the last major refresh of MacBook Pros. And I think now is our time. My money's ready. It's in my pocket. I'm ready to spend it. I just need Tim to come out there and show me what my next MacBook Pro is going to be. So if I don't see a MacBook Pro on stage with Tim, I'm going to be very surprised. I think you guys will be too.
You going to switch to Samsung? Is that what's
going
to happen?
I'm going to go to a Chromebook. Well, let's talk about those MacBooks since I mentioned them already. Anyone getting a brand new MacBook?
No.
Leander?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Really?
I'm due for one.
What do you want now, David?
Well, I want a MacBook Pro, but I'm curious as to whether or not the new ones will have USB-C. Will they still have... you know, CD drive on the side. I'll just kind of wait and see. And maybe this fall sometime I'll buy a new one.
Don't jinx me, bro. USB-C on the MacBook Pro. Don't wish that on me.
Well,
we need to keep the in and out ports that it already has, in my opinion. We don't need that stinking USB-C. They can leave that on the MacBook.
You guys are so conservative.
That's true.
I actually use my Thunderbolt ports.
Yeah.
I use my USB ports. I use all that stuff. I'm using it right now. My microphone's plugged in to a Thunderbolt Express dock.
All you're gonna do is buy about a dozen different dongles to hang off your USB-C thing. You can plug everything into it.
Yeah,
yeah. That's just how Johnny Ive imagined PC. It's like all these Franken dongles hanging off everywhere. So you can actually use the thing. Well, let me tell you guys a little bit about these new MacBooks. For those of you that are looking for a new machine, I should start by saying I think the big story here is now is the time to buy a refurbished model of the first-gen updated MacBook, which you can have on Apple.com now for as low as $929, which is, depending on which model you go for, several hundred dollars cheaper than what they were before. So now's a great time to buy a refurbished machine. We've talked about refurbished machines before on the show, how great they are. The warranty is good. So check those out. But the new MacBooks available in rose gold now. Also coming with a updated Core M processor, but from the benchmarks that I've seen, it's only about 15% faster than the previous generation. So nothing to write
home about. More battery
life,
though, right? They ate another
battery. Yeah, 10 hours of battery life now instead of 9, I think. And new Intel graphics mean up to 25% faster graphics performance. So, I mean, not a super exciting upgrade.
Well,
upgrade is what I'm calling it now. But if you don't have a MacBook and you wanted one,
yeah, they're nice. It's a super nice machine. It's a really, really nice, beautiful computer. Very capable, very fast, really lightweight, super easy to carry around everywhere. And wireless, of course, right? And, you know, the fact that it's only got one port really does make no difference whatsoever.
Do you use yours anymore. A lot, Leander?
Well, no, you know.
There's that Leander well.
Because he advertises every product so well. I always think he uses it every day.
I work in the office, so I'm on the iMac here.
Okay.
And then when I go home, I hit up the iPad. So, and I was just joking with Lewis. Like, I was at the office yesterday working in a cafe, and I pull out my MacBook. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I'm really excited about it. Look at my old friend, you know, dying to get it out and use it. And it's dead, you know. I haven't charged up the battery, and of course, I forgot my charger too. And then, so there's no worries.
If only it accepted MagSafe.
Yeah, right. I know exactly. I'll go to Staples next door, and I'll go, you know, pick something up. And of course, they don't even have USB. C. They don't have any USB-C cables. They don't have any USB-C.
Oh, really? Wow. It's not that new.
It's weird, though. But they, you know, it's... I actually ended up going down to Best Buy and looking down there. And they had a few more selections. But, you know, and they, in fact, had a spare charger for it, which is like $50. And I was just like, okay, forget that. I'm not going to spend that much money on a charger, on a spare charger, when I got one at home.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, you know, I carry it around with me every single day. I've got it in my bag. I've got a laptop bag that I carry to work, to and from work. It's with me every single day. But and maybe this is, you know, a testament to the iPad that, you know, I don't use it as much as I used to.
It's like our knives, man. It's our EDCs. We just carry them with us everywhere we go. We never actually use them.
Right. But if you need a laptop, I think it's a super nice laptop.
I do too, and I think eventually it's going to replace the MacBook Air. So this is going to be your light option if you want a lightweight MacBook. So if you are thinking about getting one, now's your time. Definitely check out the refurbished ones too. I love Apple refurbished products. In fact, I've bought a ton of them over the years, and they've always been super reliable. What's up,
Borton? I've bought.
Yeah,
I've bought.
I'm making up all sorts of words. Upgrades, bought. If there's not an appropriate word to adequately describe how I feel, I just make one up. I'm like George Bush.
Nice.
Okay. Before we move on, Leander is going to tell us a little bit more about Tunnel Bear and why he thinks it's one of those must-have components on your Mac.
I do. Tunnel Bear is sponsoring this show, and Tunnel Bear is, I think, right up there with you know, the most important things you've got to install on any new machine or any new iPhone or iPad. You know, on the list of essentials, it's definitely in the top five.
And they make VPN software. Is
it's
that
a
right?
VPN, yeah, right. So it's a virtual private network. It's a privacy app and a security app. And this thing was really amazing because it's a huge breakthrough in VPNs. Like, I've been using VPNs for years, and they're always like a headache. They were always really kind of like difficult to set up. You had to like spend, you know, ages in the settings, typing in obscure, you know, server settings and all the passwords and the security keys. And the worst thing is you had to choose what protocol you wanted to connect with. Do you remember this? It was always a headache. Anyway, Tunnel Bear.
Just hearing you describe it is giving me gas.
Yeah. So Tunnel Bear is an app. You download it. You hit a couple of buttons and it installs the VPN for you. And then when you want to use it, you get it presented with a map, you know, a map of the world, and you can choose different countries or the U.S. It's so easy to use. My mother uses it. We had it.
Kidding?
No, we got it from my mom, who is in a. In
Why
her
does
70s.
Your mom need a VPN?
Well, because she likes to watch UK TV, so she tunnels to the UK and she can watch the BBC, you know, using the iPlayer software. Because it's a licensed, you have to buy a license in the UK to watch the BBC. So she's able to watch all the BBC shows, using Tunnel Bear. And I'm telling you, if my mom can use it, it's easy to use.
And so it allows you to watch content that maybe not necessarily available in your region.
Well, yeah, it's good for geolocating. So I think you know, I was going to say Netflix, but Netflix just clamped down on this recently. People are using VPNs for watching, say, like U.S. Netflix if they were in another country, so that it would look as though they'd appear in the U.S. and they could watch The Sopranos or whatever, you know. So. And it's probably a good idea to use it at home, too. I mean, if there's stuff that, you know, you don't want to be tracked. I mean, people talk about ad tracking, and the internet's a big spy machine. And something like a VPN, like Tunnel Bear, will keep whatever you're up to, you know, if you're doing some research or if you're looking at stuff you don't want people to know you've been looking at, you know.
What do you mean? Can you elaborate on that second point?
We might get into that at a later show. But that's definitely one of the uses. You want to be, you know, you want to be aware of that. I mean, I was seeing recently there was. In fact, let's talk about this on a later one, because I was reading some articles about hacking, and people are saying that this is probably going to be the next target of hacking. Hack attacks is looking at, you know, what the kind of stuff you've been perusing online.
So where do people go to check it out?
Go to gettunnelbear.com. Okay. GetTunnelBear.com, and you can start a free trial.
Okay, thanks, Leander. Superb job. I'm going to go out and get Tunnel Bear right this instant. Actually, I got to wait till we're done recording. So let's hurry through these last stories. This was pretty interesting. Apple has been courting actors, actresses, producers, people involved in the entertainment industry, and it looks as though they are trying to compete with Netflix, compete with Amazon, and release their own original content. Isn't that right, Buster?
Dude, yeah, they're going after triple A-list talent, bro.
Like what? Triple A-list?
Triple A-list. I don't know who...
Is that the top tier?
Yeah.
The top of the tier?
I think so.
Or those are the ones that are in AA.
I think Brian's probably both. What? Like who?
Will I Am, obviously.
Oh, wait. Didn't you say AAA was above just A-list?
I thought so, but yeah.
Okay. I'm confused about the order, but nevertheless, who else?
There was no specific mention of who, like which directors or filmmakers they're talking to. Just that they're talking to like up and coming filmmakers at Sundance. They had this secret lounge where you had to be really cool to get invited to. And they'd invite actors and directors and all kinds of people from Hollywood. But I feel like this rumor has been coming around for a while. But now that you're seeing like the Will I Am app documentary and the Dre 6 series TV show, maybe it's finally does have some wheels and that Apple actually is going to go through and like make its own like originally scripted TV show. I don't know. I'm still holding my breath on it.
They clearly need something for Apple TV besides what they have right now. And these content partnerships they've been trying to make for years and years seem to just not be coming together. And so maybe they've just kind of decided, if we're going to have content, we need to start making our own.
See, but I don't agree that they need content for Apple TV. Like, I don't know why they have to make it themselves. Amazon makes original content, but I don't seek out Amazon devices to go and watch... what is that? The transgender show that they have. That one's good. And then they have like The Man from White Castle. But it's not like I'm going to definitely go and buy a Kindle Fire TV just to watch Amazon's shows, because none of them are exclusively tied to it. So I think it would be kind of weird if they did. And it's not like they're going to be making billions off of the content anyway.
But they want you to be using the Amazon app, right? And aren't these the new networks, you know?
Uh-huh.
I think Facebook's been getting into this. They were talking about Facebook getting into content as well.
Oh, really?
You know, if you look at Netflix without its original content, it's kind of a wasteland. It's a desert, right? I mean, they don't have good content.
Yeah.
It's all crap. So, you know, to be competitive, they've got to start producing their own content. And I think you're increasingly going to see that. And I think they don't care. You know, they don't necessarily want to use it. You know, Apple is more concerned about hardware, but. These are the new sort of networks, you know, the new CBS and NBC and ABC of like the digital era, the apps. And, you know, where you get the app, I don't think it really matters. You know, they'll put it on a TV or in a set-top box, but they want you to go to that app to look at that content.
It's interesting. You're about Netflix and Amazon. You're right. If you take away their original content, they don't really have a lot of compelling content on there, because people with compelling content don't want to give it to Netflix and Amazon until it's like 10 years old. So that's a problem for them, right? Because they want subscribers. In order to get subscribers, you have to have good content. So essentially what they started doing is making their own. And it makes sense to me for Netflix to do this, potentially even Amazon to do this, because it pushes their Prime memberships. But I definitely don't understand why Apple would want to do this. Here Apple is yet again in another business that they potentially might be getting into, spreading themselves thinner, and I don't see what the payoff would be for them.
Yeah, that's... I mean, you get cool stuff, so you get, you know, more people, you know, you get like a House of Cards or a Game of Thrones type show, so then you get people using iTunes more often is the only draw for it. But I feel like people already are going to use, you know, the platform a lot already. I don't think the original content's going to be a huge draw for people unless they just have some crazy awesome show that's even bigger than Game of Thrones or House of Cards.
I mean, if they start offering original content, they seem like they would be taking on the strategy that Amazon is, where they are going to be offering this content sometimes exclusively on their own devices. So maybe that would be a draw. But again, as you said, Buster, it's like you don't go out and buy an Amazon Fire Stick TV because you want to watch one of Amazon's shows.
Yeah.
But we don't have an Amazon app on the Apple TV, and that's actually a huge problem for people that own Apple TV.
That's supposed to be still coming, isn't it? I mean, didn't they say that was going to be...
Yeah, I thought they did.
Yeah, forever ago we talked about this, and it never turned up. But now Amazon is going to be offering their Prime Video service as a standalone service.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to put this thing on Apple TV now. If you're paying them $10 a month for Amazon Video... Like, they're going to have to make the content available on the devices which you already have. They're not going to also want you to buy, an Amazon device to watch that content. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, yeah, they are. They're going to prefer you to buy an Amazon device, but I think it would be better if they open it up to, put it on Apple TV. Then you're going to get more people subscribing because Amazon doesn't make money off of hardware. So they're making it off of your Prime subscription. So I think that's what they want to sell more subscription numbers than hardware.
Well, hopefully this means if they start coming out with their own content, hopefully this means they'll also start coming out with their own musical content
that we can buy. Apple?
Yeah, because I really want a Tim Cook album. I want Tim Cook Sings the Hits. Like, what kind of songs would you guys want to hear on a Tim Cook album? I'm thinking like...
Any Coldplay song?
Yeah, any Coldplay song. That's a good suggestion. The only songs that come to my mind are like nursery rhymes, like Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Oh, I was thinking like Baby Got Back and stuff.
Oh, definitely Baby Got Back.
Love
yeah.
to see
oh,
him rap with his southern accent. Oh yeah,
Little Red Corvette. I said y'all Little Red Corvette. Okay, let's move on to the last story of the day. I just wanted to bring this one up because I thought it was wildly entertaining. Don't you guys wish you had Apple stock when they first launched their IPO?
Yeah. Let me know.
Yeah. I can't be alone.
How much would it be worth now if you bought five, you know, like instead of buying a desktop Mac, like whatever it was at that time, right? Instead of buying the Apple II.
You put the Apple II money into Apple stock?
Yeah. What would it be worth now?
Well, I can't tell you that because how much was the Apple II?
I can't remember, but you know, by the time
it was like $3,000, wasn't it?
I'd say $6,000 to $8,000 by the time you got everything. You know, like by the time you got, okay. If you got, you know, printers and all that kind of stuff.
Well, let's start. Let's just do it. Let's make it easy, especially because I have the numbers here right in front of me. On Cult of Mac, we did a post about this, and I found it to be wildly entertaining. So, Apple had their IPO in 1996. If you had taken $1,000 and put $1,000 in at the initial IPO and then never invested again, didn't touch the money, just take a wild guess. Did you guys actually read this story? Do you guys know the answer?
Yeah.
I don't know the precise answer.
Okay, Buster, you can't guess. Leander, David, take a guess as to how much you would think it would be worth. $1,000, 1996. How much would the value be today?
$1.5 million.
$2.4 million.
Wow. You only invested $1,000, guys. Jeez. I mean, maybe if you'd invested more. So that $1,000 today would be worth $117,000.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
That's it. Well, is that all?
But
it's 27.7% growth every year. That's pretty gosh darn good.
Yeah. And then the appreciation on it compared to the other top tech stocks, IBM and Microsoft, I think is what's like, pretty crazy when you look at like the chart if you invested $1,000 in Microsoft, it would only be like 10,000 now. IBM, it would have only been, I think, 7,000 or something.
Almost 8,000, yeah.
And so it's just like tiny compared to that 100,000 that you're going to get with Apple.
Yeah, that's actually true. The comparison definitely makes it a lot more interesting. Yeah, you would have gained 13.3% per year on your money with Microsoft, 11.9% with IBM. I remember when, I think it was 2007 when the economy was just tanking, right? And Apple stock had dropped from, I don't even remember what it was. It was probably like $140, $150 per share down to like $74 per share. And I had some extra money at that time that I was thinking about buying a house with. And instead, I was like, you know, I think I might actually use this money to buy some Apple stock instead. But I kind of chickened out and didn't do either, and ended up just hanging on to it for a while. And now I look back and I'm like, oh man, if I would have bought that stock in 2007, I can only imagine how much like 20 grand would have been in stock
in a parallel universe the company could have tanked and you would have ended up with nothing.
Well, that's exactly it, right? And when everything's like on fire and the economy was tanking and their stock was dropping, you're like, man, this might be it, right? This might be it for Apple. This might be it for the U.S. economy. So you don't have the I didn't have the psychology, the iron spine to put my money in at that time.
Well, it's still way undervalued, isn't it? I mean, don't people think that it should be? What are some of the more bullish analysts? What are they saying it should be going to?
I think Carl Icahn said it was supposed to be like $250,000 per share.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think he said 250, hasn't he? And there was people talking about 300 bucks a share.
He was saying, yeah, in 200s, yeah.
Well, it might be undervalued now, but if I had invested in 2007, I'd probably be a millionaire. And I certainly wouldn't have to be associated with the likes of you guys.
Right. So what if you put a bet on...
bet on black?
Well, I was going to say, the only thing I could think of was Leicester City in the UK. You know, I mean, they were 5,000 to 1 at the beginning of the year to win the Championships League.
Yeah,
and that now they're the favorites, and it was 5,000 to 1 odds like a year ago. They were going to get relegated. I mean, they were going to go out of the league, and
they won.
Well, they haven't played yet, but they're looking like they're going to.
Huh.
Did you put some money down on that,
Leander? No. I don't follow US soccer, UK soccer.
You missed your big chance.
I did, but, you know, there you go.
You could have gotten out of this. Yeah.
Could have retired forever.
So you could have gotten out of this game and retired. But now, instead, you're stuck writing a book with David.
That's what a weekly podcast, right?
Exactly. All right. Well, with that, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. I think you're a stand-up guy, David. Absolutely. I was just joking.
No,
I don't want David
okay.
to think that I'm being mean to him. He's like, God, this guy's a total jerk. Right. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come say hello to us on Twitter, we would fancy that. Leander is L. Caney, Buster's BST3R. I'm at Airfawn. David, what are you?
I do not have a Twitter account.
Oh, my gosh. This will be David's last appearance on this show. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. David, do you want to do the honors?
Next week?
sure. That was close enough. Next week.
Yeah.
You have never listened to this show, have you?
Yeah, I've been tuned out by this part of the show.
Yes.
I'll be a pro by next week, I promise.
Summer. I'm in the cars with pain.